Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Five in the secondary for the Broncos. Here they come with five. There's the catch, a touchdown by St. Brown.
Blue Goulet Drinkers! We are back and better than ever, baby. The Lions coming off a 42-17 ass-kicking of the Denver Broncos in primetime. The Lions 4-0 in primetime. They've actually won their last five, and they average over 31 points per game in primetime. This is a team that shows up when the lights are the brightest, and you got to love it. We're going to be diving into this game and also where the Lions stand with the playoffs and everything of that nature. What an exciting time to be a Lions fan. What an exciting time to be a Blue Kool-Aid drinker. And we're going to get all that. Before we do, let's introduce Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. I'm Big Z. Let's get to the other two that are here. We got UJ.
Hello, everybody.
And Red Dog.
Yo.
So, gentlemen, the Lions come out a little slow on offense. First three drives don't do too much on offense. But the defense responded early on. I just want to point out one guy right now. So the defense has made some changes. Jerry Jacobs got benched in this game.
Careful of patting yourself on the back so you're going to break your own arm.
Well, again, he's a third cornerback, not a second cornerback that should be out there every down. But anyways, he gets benched. They do kind of a rotation with Khalil Dorsey and Kendall Vildor. But then the big change is probably Tracy Walker not in the starting lineup and a guy named Ife Melifonwu. He had the game of his life.
So iffy no mo.
He had the game of his life. And you can see his impact all over the field. Blitzing, he caused the fumble that bugs big man. Doesn't quite have the speed to get it all the way into the end zone, unfortunately. No. but he picks it up, rumbles for a while. But Ife had nine tackles, six solo, had a sack, that the strip sack fumble, and two pass deflections, including one like on a deep throw. Oof. Where he just used that length to get over top of him to knock the ball out.
Stellar play of that one.
It was awesome. He was in single coverage on that. Not quite in the best position necessarily, but, had the athleticism to make up for it there. Just all around. I wanted to start with him because I was just so excited. It's really cool to see the improvement. I mean, vast, vast improvement. He's barely been able to make the lineup, but even when he was replacing Walker earlier in the year, he was playing really well too, nice and physical. I think it helps that our D-line played better in this game too. That always helps. But definitely some of the lineup changes I think
that
helped.
Was Kirby he was replacing earlier in the season, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. When Kirby was started,
back when Tracy was playing good still.
Right. But man, just I think those couple changes definitely help. And of course, playing in primetime at home, just a little extra juice. But I wanted to start off with the defense before we get into the offense performance tonight. UJ, what do you see from the defense here in this game?
Well, I have to say it because no one else did, but there was nothing iffy about Ife's performance in that game. It was a dominating performance for the young safety. And I think part of it, his coming out, we always knew he was athletic. When we drafted him, we knew this kid could play. He was long and he had those traits that you just wanted. And he's been just nicked up so much in his career and is 3 years now, I think, in the league. Maybe he's just healthy now. I don't know. Whatever it is though, it's great. But I just want to say about this defensive performance overall, it was, it was like an eye opener. And I think Aaron Glenn finally just unleashed the hounds, man. And just where were all these blitzing schemes earlier in the year? I don't know.
He blitzed a ton in this game.
A ton.
Oh, there were so
I'd say
much.
More in this game than he has all year almost. Add it up. But it was very effective, and it was coming from every direction. And it was really fun to watch, man. They just put a lot of pressure on it. And that's what I just enjoyed seeing so much.
Yeah, Rudd Dog.
Yeah, I hate to agree with you or disagree with you, UJ, but I just have to make I'm not sure we knew that if he could play. We knew he had some nice physical traits, but we were never really sure what he was going to be. And he's finally figuring it out now. They finally clearly put him in a spot where he fits. Because, well, he was a cornerback when we drafted him, I'm pretty sure. And, like, we didn't know what we were going to get out. And we just, like, he had the physical traits that were just so tantalizing. And, man, we really saw him on that blitz, how fast he was blitzing from deep, getting all the way to Russell. That was
crazy. Oh, how about
crazy.
That play? We should talk. That play was incredible. He was, like, what, lined up 15 yards deep at the
start of
the
play? Yeah, and he blitzed, like, the left B gap and, like, ran Russell down despite him getting a nice head start, like, rolling to the right. That was, like, just terrific speed. And, yeah, that safety or the pass defense, man, he really showed up. And the thought of him and with CD coming back soon, like, it's going to be so interesting. Him, freaking Kirby, Branch, and CJGJ just makes me feel like this secondary is going to look way more intimidating as we approach the playoffs. And, man, it's exciting.
Yeah.
And as far as like the whole.
Sorry. Go ahead. Finish your point.
Just for the whole defense, you know, I think we really started this last week against the Bears. I think that the D line had already begun to surge and started to show that they can get some wins up front. And I want to give a hats off to Pascal because I think that was a terrific sack.
Oh, yeah.
One of his best, maybe the best games of the year.
Yeah. Another tackle for loss in the run game, too. Yeah. Definitely one of his best performances.
On the screen.
That might have been his, but I think that was his best play of the game, by the way. That if he didn't make that tackle on that screen, that guy had like 30 yards of open field.
right.
Mm-hmm. So, but I just want to make Big Z, you've been saying it all year, though, about Jacobs. And hate to say it, but you're right. You know, I think a lot of us fans are just rooting for Jacobs because he was just that great underdog story. And, you know, this kid just came out of nowhere and we loved his grit and he plays so hard and, you know. Okay, he's a bit overmatched at times, but
he's a good depth piece, but he's not a starter.
In fact, he's our highest rated player in the Pro Bowl rankings because of his 3 interceptions. Look, he obviously has some deficiency in his pass coverage, and I'm not ready to give like I didn't see anything from Vildor or what's his name?
Dorsey
that really shows that they're any better than him right now. They made the kinds of plays he always made. Big plays in the backfield on screens and perimeter plays.
They need to change something.
He's been playing bad. I'll give you that, but I think that's not all on him either. But hey, I'm not ready to give up on Jerry.
No, it's not all on him, but he's thrown at like 10 times a game while Sutton's kind of
over
there.
I bet he gets his way back into the lineup before the end of the year.
I don't know if he'll be back in the lineup, but he won't be like kicked off the team or released or anything like that.
I'm not even saying that. But,
he's a good depth piece.
What
have I been saying?
He's our number two again by the end of the year.
I was just trying to give you credit for being right, Big Z. Another thing I would just like to mention here is that with this blitzing that Aaron Glenn unleashed here in this game, I mean, how does this bode going forward? You know, like, it's going to be interesting, you know, see if we can do this more often. And against better teams, it's not always going to work, you know. It could work against you at times, but it's going to be
Well, yeah, there's some times in this game, especially the blitzing from our linebackers, I think still leaves some to be desired. They're crashing into each other, and when the blitz doesn't get home, it leaves wide open, you know, receivers. But
exactly.
But so yeah, like even I think our linebackers have some blitzing, especially from Campbell. Campbell, I think, could have done a better job in this game from the blitzing standpoint of the league.
Yeah, I think he's still developing that part of his game.
Yeah.
Hey, Anzalone had some really nice blitzes. That one where he got the pass deflection was excellent.
Anzalone's a stud, man. And he's a good blitzer, too. The guy is so freaking fast. There's a one I think he blitzed, missed the blitz, fell down, got up, and chased Russell Wilson down for like a 1-yard gain or something like that. It was incredible. It just his speed and his agility is off the charts, man. I think he's just one of the more underrated linebackers in the league, personally, Anzalone. So that's all.
I agree.
Giving my props here to him. I think he's playing great.
I don't know what you got to do to be considered a really good linebacker. The way he flies around to the ball and makes plays and constantly impacts the game, it's like that dude definitely deserves his flowers. But I will say, Jack Campbell, maybe his pass rushing still needs to keep developing, but like his overall presence and effect on the game is just, you feel it. He's just like a nice little like warm safety blanket out there, because the dude puts down tackles when people miss him. He flies all around the field. He's so tough in the middle. Really helps make us stout to stop that run game. And I just think he's working towards a breakout game here where he affects the game in a little more overt ways.
For sure. You know, Levi Munzurike actually was our third best rated defensive player in this game. He definitely had his best game as a player. It's a very limited sample, but still, him showing up at all is fantastic.
Because he's like so many of these other guys, just like iffy. He just needs to stay healthy and stay be on the field getting reps. He needs that opportunity to develop his skill set and learn and see what other teams do to stop you and how to learn how to beat it and all that. He just needs that time in game and staying healthy. And I think he's got stellar, physical traits. That's why we drafted him in the second round. Same with Pascal. Those guys just need to keep stringing games together of health.
And this is his rookie season.
They're just gonna get better.
This is his rookie season. So
effectively.
Effectively his rookie season because of his injuries the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And Broderick Martin played in this game as well. He assisted on a couple tackles. The Lions defense, I bet the under on Javonte Williams rushing because it was like 67. I'm like, that's way too high. Anyways, they had 28 carries for 83 yards in this game, 3 yards a carry. That's a phenomenal job. And the Lions run defense has not been the problem this year besides running quarterbacks. But as far as rushing yards from a running back and designed run plays,
it's definitely a pass rush.
The pass rush is the biggest issue, but at least they're good at one thing, especially.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's their identity. Like that's clearly the way we've sacrificed some things on the pass rush side because we're determined to be a top run defense first. Cause I think that's like a good strategy in this league. Make the quarterbacks have to put together great routes.
You talk about what this team does good though. What our defense is good though. You're right. We do play good in the run. And we play violent too. I mean, that part I like about our team. These guys love to hit out there, man. Again, some good hitting out there.
Oh yeah.
And these guys pay the price when they run against us or catch passes against us. And mm-hmm. we just got to keep doing that, I mean, yeah, we do have deficiencies, but we try to make up for it in other ways. So, every team has deficiencies out there, but just like us. So it's just how we match up and how we do going forward. So I don't know, man. I'm very hopeful with this team. And if we can, we had our swoon there, our little lull in our season. Maybe now this is the time we just we start picking it up toward the end, right at the end, and take it into the playoffs, baby.
And Hutch led the team with 5 pressures. He had a pretty solid game, I think.
I agree.
I don't think
he's still clearly the game plan is to double him.
Yeah, he's still getting doubled, but he had a good game. And the defense as a whole, just excellent job all around. I imagine Cam Sutton, yeah. I mean, he's been sneaky, just like really good all year because they don't throw to his way as often as our other
part of the reason Jerry struggles so much.
Well, right. I think he only gave up 1 catch for 8 yards in this game. Sutton.
That one, though, down in the red zone where he was alone on Cortland Sutton and just hip pocketed him so textbook perfect and made the pass defense near the goal line was absolutely excellent.
Definitely. And like you said, when CJ DJ gets back, it's going to be really interesting what they do with him. Do you think they put him at the other cornerback? I mean, that's his background. Are they going to put him back in the safety spot? I love the way Iffy's playing. I want him out there,
I know.
Like, the thing is, we do have so many diverse talents. What's the word I'm looking for? Multi-talented defensive backs. Like, all those guys I listed have... Like, yeah, versatile. Thank you. like freaking Branch, we could put him as the other corner sometimes. Like we could put CD as a corner sometimes. We could even put Iffy as a corner sometimes. Like all those dudes can do so much. Like you could throw out every kind of look you can imagine, sort of like we do with our linebackers. But I mean, Vildor and those guys, I think are playing solid right now. But you know, we don't need to necessarily.
Well, as Aaron Glenn is learning how to blitz throughout the season and improving his scheming in that regard. Mm-hmm. I mean, with that versatility, I mean, you can line up him up like Iffy or something like that at cornerback and blitz him off the edge, like disguise the defense a little more because you have that versatility too. That's what it offers you. Like they can think they're throwing at Iffy on the outside and he ends up blitzing, or Iffy lines up like on the inside and switches out really quick. Like some sort of like there's a bunch of different lineups you could do when you have that versatility on the defense side. So
you can find ways to get them on the field by taking linebackers off because those dudes aren't really liabilities in the run game either. Like run two linebackers with, you know, six D backs. And so, like, there's so many different ways to use that talent. And I don't count Tracy Walker out either. I think he'll find his way back on the field again. He won't be the starter, but he's a good depth piece to have.
Oh, definitely. I agree. Yeah,
definitely.
But I think we all agree he's not quite the same player he was before his injury. But I think we've touched on that in the past.
So. Yeah, he hasn't quite found that stride he was hitting right before it. And, you know, him being out there more and more is better for him, too. But I guess he is getting kind of on there in years, isn't he?
Yeah. And I think,
geez.
I think Jalen Reeves even had a few more snaps, actually, in this game again. So he's out there. Barnes, I think, played relatively solid as well off the edge. He got hurt and luckily came back in the second half. That was good to see. You know, we don't want to see him out.
That was good to see. I was a little worried about that when he was
Because he's had a great year. It's awesome to just watch that.
His development is excellent.
Yeah, development. That's the word I was looking for. Well, let's start to the other side, shall we? This is really fun. Yeah. So it wasn't fun the first three drives, but it was fun every other drive after that. Jared Goff goes off for 24 for 34 throwing, 278 yards, 5 touchdowns.
Incredible.
And three of those were to Sam Laporta, who's just breaking records left and right. Amon Ra, whatever mini slump he had,
gone.
Gone. Guys, yeah. Seven
catches. I kind of like actually like
112 yards, one touchdown. Too. And he had an exciting play in this game. He jumped over a guy and flipped into the end zone.
Flip.
Yeah, he says, I'm on my highlight reel, man. He just leaped in the sky. It was awesome.
I was snoring a little bit there, and like, and then like, I was like,
I'm not boring.
What's this?
And I think that most importantly, J-Mo went 4 for 47, but had 7 targets in this game too. One of which should have been completed. Goff overthrew him. He had a man beat downfield.
Yeah.
But they were doing it. You know, I think one other target maybe was a short one, but another one was a 20-yarder too. And it was early in the game. They didn't wait till like the fourth quarter. So they're doing
a deep pitch on the other one where
J-Mo's educating us. Short. He's educating us too. He's showing he can make tough catches now.
The one catch on the right.
That was fantastic.
Man. Yeah, that was definitely the most. Well, I don't know if it was difficult. We've seen him make difficult, like the Tampa Bay one where he scored a touchdown. The deep throw,
extremely backwards, and it fell in his chest.
It was a good catch. He had a man draped on him, and
it wasn't a display of great hands. It was a good display of like tracking the ball, but this one was like a legit hands catch up in the air under duress, getting dragged to the ground. Like that's exactly the kind of
It was great. I thought he was hurt after that. It looked like he kind of land on it.
Probably didn't feel great.
Really weird, but
it was an awkward. Yeah, but I think he's okay.
Yeah, thank God. Man, that would really suck. But
oh my God.
But man,
he's just getting his time.
Is the team MVP? We're getting way into the end of the season, but like Sam Laporta is just awesome. He is so reliable in this offense. So when we need a third down completion,
so good.
I mean, Amon Ra obviously is our guy, but
I think
Laporta just adds a whole other dimension. This is unbelievable from a rookie, though. It's crazy.
It is. It's amazing. It's freaky good. Remember our roars of the week on our last pod?
Yeah.
I think all our roars came through.
To extent,
Whoever we picked, they all came through this week.
Well, you picked like a 10% of the team, UJ.
I picked the O-line. Right. Hey, but the O-line stepped up in a big way in this game. Goff had all the time in the world
to
throw. The running lanes were there. Ragnow is a stud. He was a week and a half off of meniscus surgery, okay, and he came back and played. Think about that. I mean, I know it's not the most serious surgery, okay. I've had meniscus surgery on both of my knees, but it, to come back a week and a half after that and be playing an NFL football game, that's studly, man. Guy's a stud. He's unreal.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, Ragnow, obviously a huge difference, because then you can shift Glasgow back out to guard, where he's much better in this offense.
Yes. Yes.
It was great to have the whole bunch for a whole game. That's one of, like, the few we've actually seen of all five. Technically it's not Vitae, but.
Yeah, they absolutely shredded this defense, especially on the ground. Gibbs, 11 carries for 100 yards, even.
On the dot.
And David Montgomery, 17 for 85. That's 28 carries for 185 yards. That's 6.6 yards a carry and a touchdown. Gibbs
that was close
just looks
prediction.
Better and better and better every week.
One thing I got to say is not Gibbs so is a good. Superstar. We have a superstar on our team. This kid is a superstar. You know, every time you see a superstar,
hey, is he
on other
a superstar,
teams,
EJ?
Here, I mean, you know how he makes things look easy? This guy, he makes it look easy. It's ridiculous. He hardly ever gets knocked down at the end of a play. He's usually standing still, you know, runs out of bounds or he gets hit or whatever. Boom, he's shaking it off. I don't know. He's just like, he doesn't even look bothered or like he's sweating hard.
No. His contact balance is like ridiculous. He does not just go down easy.
And he's been a little more patient, and his vision and his instincts have just gotten better and better every week. Because at the beginning of the season, his instincts were not up to snuff.
Yeah.
But he's vastly improved in that area.
So much. He's really starting to see when he has to, like he's not panicking anymore. Right. He's not getting excited, putting his head down and just hitting it. He knows when he can take a beat, look, and find a gap. And man, with his speed and his agility, it is really just showing off. Like he's doing all the that one run where he didn't score, but got us down to like the 3 yard line was so ridiculous. He was just juking so many people on that sideline and really juked the last guy, but over juked him and kind of threw himself back.
But it
wasn't just dirty.
It wasn't the juke of the game. That belonged to JMO on the sideline, who somehow got like 7 more yards
that
out of nothing.
Was so sad.
Absolutely.
It's a fun highlight to watch. It's like a guy that looks like he's literally about to get tackled, just like somehow jukes his way to 7 yards, like down the sideline. It was just awesome.
How did he create that space for himself? There was like the dude, he was on the sideline when he caught the ball. Like,
I know.
Like the fact he's able to just blow by that guy.
Get the ball in this man's hands.
Like seriously.
I think they're finally figuring that out a little bit, though.
I think they are. It's really exciting to see. Really, really exciting. I mean, the Gibbs and Montgomery, just that duo is fantastic. Like they're two different type style runners. But they complement each other extremely well.
Yes.
And I hope they can stay healthy all the way into the playoffs here, because it's awesome.
As good as Montgomery is, though, like Gibbs is really showing that level of like you almost don't want to see Montgomery on the field as much anymore. like it's great because you know you can't just run Gibbs all the time, but like there was a couple where like Monty had a hole that Gibbs would have blown for at least another 10 yards. But like was getting like caught up in arm tackles and stuff, and I'm not complaining. The dude's a stud, and it's just a different kind of back. But like Gibbs's explosiveness is just so dynamite. every time he touches the ball, it's. I mean, honestly, if he keeps developing, he's gonna start looking more and more like Barry the way he's running. You can tell he's kind of channeling it, and he'll probably never be that level of elusiveness. But that speed, he doesn't necessarily need to always be elusive either. Just burn, baby.
But the complimentary running back duo is really incredible, though. I mean,
yes.
We won't burn Gibbs out, you know, with Monty out there. And Monty gets those hard first downs, man. I'll tell you, that guy works his ass off, man. He runs so hard. I don't know how he stays healthy, but, man, he just runs his ass off. He runs so hard.
I know,
so
his head's
hard.
Getting, like, bent and stuff.
He runs so hard. He's just fun to watch, man. You know, I know he doesn't have the speed of Gibbs and that thing, but man, he's still, to me, he's very fun to watch.
Absolutely.
If you watch him from his like Bears days, or if you remember him, like he looks like he's having the best time of his life out there right now, like on a winning team.
Yeah.
A great offensive line to run behind. Mm-hmm. It's cool to see.
And one guy just can't tackle him. I mean, he just keeps going. His legs are churning constantly, and it's pretty amazing.
And that's the thing. He's not just like a power back. He's got such ridiculous agility. He may not be the fastest, but man, like he is sliding left to right and making like ridiculous moves that make him so hard to get a beat on half the time. He is special.
Well, I'll tell you what, if we continue our good blocking, Goff has so many weapons here to choose from. It's really amazing right now. So this offense, if we keep clicking going into the postseason here, I mean,
the most important thing is the offensive line. Got to keep the offensive line healthy.
Oh,
yes.
Got to. You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens the last 3 weeks if the Lions clinch something. If they, like, you know.
Oh, so.
We'll get into all that in a moment. But
more on this offense, because there is something I got to talk about with Ben Johnson and probably Goff and all that came up with. Like, these hot reads to fade routes on the perimeter are fantastic. Where like, he just gets reads hot and just tosses it to the sideline for Reynolds. He did it twice. One was a big first down conversion for a nice like 20 yards. And then the other time was a pass interference call that got us the first down. Like that is like, I swear it's like Ben must listen to our pod because I was calling for that. Just, we got to force our Wilson. I just throw it up the 50-50 balls. Sometimes you can't always take what's there. And man, Reynolds has that body where, like, he's always going to be kind of a mismatch on cornerbacks on that perimeter running those fade routes. I love that, but, like, 50-50, just toss it up there. And Goff throws a nice little rainbow ball for that, too. So,
yeah,
I love that development of their offense.
Yeah, Reynolds is definitely an unsung hero on this team. I don't think he gets near enough credit for the stuff he does. So he's just – I just want to throw that out there because, you know, the other guys get most of the talking points, but man, this guy's always out there making plays, and he's been a great addition to this team.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just not like, you know, in our offense, he's really.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like a number two, number one wide receiver. Like, he's not, you know, he's not a true number one in the sense that Amon-Ra is our number one, but he plays that role on the perimeter.
Right.
As the big
he just
body.
He seems so clutch, though. Like,
he's so reliable. Exactly.
He makes big plays when you need him. Like, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Definitely. And, you know, the other thing I want to point out again is that, you know, the last piece of that Stafford trade was the Rams' first round pick. And the Lions trade back. And with that trade back in this last draft, a lot of people thought, oh, the Lions should have got Jalen Carter. And even like in recent weeks, people like, you know, with the poor defensive play, like maybe we should have got Jalen Carter. Well, the trade back got us Jahmyr Gibbs and LaPorta. So it's hard to disagree with the
five
finality of that Stafford trade, amongst also getting like Goff and all their other picks.
Don't you love that Campbell was given shit to all the people who said we didn't pick well in the draft. Like he just came out and had to say it. Brad Holmes, man, he knew what he was doing, and it's panning out in a big way too. I mean, who's that other running back that was the first?
Oh, Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, does anybody talk about that guy? What's he doing?
Not as well.
It's a great question. A lot of people are wondering that.
I think he's got. They've
handled him very bizarrely in Atlanta. Atlanta has a lot of other problems, so I think that coach is probably going to get fired. They have way too much talent on that team to lose to the Panthers today. For
instance. Well, like, I think the big thing is like I think Bijan's a good running back, like, and I see why people liked him, but like. As agile and stuff as he is, he doesn't have that speed that Gibbs has, and that's why like and Gibbs isn't necessarily as less. It's not like he's less agile either. He just doesn't have to run as much, you know, shifty stuff a lot of the time because he can just put on those jets. Like and but you see now he can do the shifty stuff, man. He's so shifty. Like he's hard to take down.
I think he's the better back, man. That little tiny seam. That's all he needs.
I mean, hey, historically, running backs with his kind of speed have done really well in the league. And you combine that with his overall skill set.
Well, someone was comparing him to Chris Johnson. I don't know if I exactly see that, but
it's not the same.
But hey, I mean, just the fact that someone's comparing tells you something. So I don't know.
But that is the example. Like true burner running backs are a nightmare in the league. Like, and they've historically Adrian Peterson was like that. He had true burner speed but he had the whole package. Like, but Gibbs is kind of like that. He's tough. Like you're saying, he's got great shiftiness. He's got great vision. Like he's so much more than just a fast running back. And that's why I think he's just going to be.
And he's a better receiver too out of the backfield.
Absolutely.
And Chris Johnson.
Hey, when he caught that touchdown pass, were you afraid that he dropped it too quickly after he caught it? Just a little?
Like, no.
I was like,
this is the first time I'm even thinking about it. So I definitely did not think about
it. Went into the end zone and then just threw the ball on the ground. Like seemed like almost in one motion.
don't you gotta bring the ball to the sideline? Like, and also carry with you all the way to the locker room, put it in your locker.
Barry would.
Well, and then make sure it never touches the ground again to qualify as a catch.
I'm just saying like, I would just hold on to it just a little longer.
Well, maybe they'll bring that up in a meeting, but I certainly did not.
No one questioned it during the game, so I guess it was okay. But it can't cross my mind anyway.
Hey, it's not a bad point, you know. Like I think it's kind of silly sometimes to put the ball down quick right as you cross the end zone. Like I think that happened today. Someone was running like a pick back or something. It was like. Celebrating
in the Buccaneers game,
and he got it hit out of his hands as he's crossing. Luckily, he waited just long enough, and it wasn't a fumble. But man, like that's just a silly risk, you know?
Why, yeah, it's stupid.
Like, the Calvin catch and all that—you don't want to risk silly, you know, some stupid thing being called.
Yeah, no, agreed. You know, really quick, I have a stock up and a stock down, like. I just want to do one. It's stock up and stock down. It's one thing. The refs. It was positive for the Lions because they called a phantom offsides on the offense that don't understand at all.
Wait,
but then stock down because that was an awful call by the refs, and I don't understand at all. Remotely
the right guard was
doing.
Lined up. His head was breaching the ball.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, yes, it was. The guard was. He was over the ball.
His helmet is clearly forward.
That's not offsides.
I didn't see it at first either until I had it explained to me. But
what's the rule? Is it that your helmet can't breach the plane of the ball, or that you can't be past the ball?
I think he can't. The ball has to be ahead of his.
He can't be breaching the plane of the ball. Right. The dude was clearly lined up offsides. If that's the rule,
I didn't think it was clear at all. I thought that was a horrible call.
Well, their helmets kind of blend in, so maybe you just couldn't see it well. But it was pretty clear.
I've never seen this many offenses offsides in 2 weeks of football in my life. I've seen it four times in the last 2 weeks.
When have you heard him call offensive offsides? That's like a defensive call.
It looks like these linemen are trying to cheat a little bit and trying to get closer to the ball so they can get like a nice surge or something. So they're lining up. Line up offsides because you should know exactly where your feet go right next to the dude next to you. So even in, like, there are plays where you will line up closer to the ball, but like you should know if your feet are lined up right next to your center, you, there's no way you should line
but
up.
I'm sorry, on any quarterback sneak, those guys are definitely on the ball or even slightly above the ball, and they never call it. And I thought this was not even that close to being
maybe
offside.
If everyone's doing it, it's okay, but he was the only guy lined up that far.
You know, I thought it was horrible. Have
but I'm glad it went our way, obviously. Just,
oh, yeah, for sure. I do actually have a stock down in this game.
Sure.
Oh, boy. And that would be Jack Fox. Did not have a very good game. Jack
worst Fox game of his career,
has
probably.
So, been so reliable, and he just did not have a good game. He was
his two punts
were short. He couldn't put them out of bounds, you know.
No.
I mean, it was just didn't have a good game. He didn't punt well. Okay.
He was getting tired on the sidelines. He was like, he just got kind of.
I used to kick in as much in the first quarter. I think he kicked three or four punts. But anyway.
Well, after that,
I had to say it, Jack. Sorry, buddy. You had a rough game there, pal. But don't worry. We love you. And we know you're one of the best in the game. So
that's how great our team is. Even when our team MVP is not playing up to his best, we rally around him.
That's right. That's right.
I think Goff's our team MVP, honestly. The dude balls out.
Yeah, he definitely had a great rebound game. Again, he's so much better at home. That's why the Lions, it is important, I think, that we get that 2 seed if we can. Which is kind of a great segue into where the Lions stand right now. So Dallas lost today.
Yes.
They got their ass kicked. They got ran over, like literally run over by Josh Allen threw like 14 passes, I think, today.
Oh, wow.
And they got smoked. So that's promising for the Lions when they travel to Dallas. If their run defense continually not up to par in the way we're blocking, that could be a great matchup for us, actually. But anyway, so they fall to 10-4. Obviously, the Lions move up to 10-4. They're still the 3 seed. There's the Monday night game tomorrow. If the Eagles lose that game, I'm not sure where this. I think the Eagles still have the tiebreaker because they have a stronger strength of schedule. It depends on like opponents, actually. And Jalen Hurts might not play tomorrow. San Francisco is the 1 seed. They're a game ahead of the Lions. The Lions pretty much need San Francisco to lose 2 to next 3 and the Lions to win out for them to get the 1 seed. So it's very unlikely. The one the Lions have got to go for is that 2 seed. And Jalen Hurts is not playing tomorrow. So if they lose, that would greatly help the Lions. But at least they're in the 3 seed because then they're 3 games ahead of Tampa Bay or the Saints.
What,
for the
if we
seed.
Win out, what happens if we win out? What would our odds look
like?
We still
might not get the 1 seed, though.
We might not get, we'll very likely not get the 1 seed just because San Francisco is going to be favored by double digits the rest of the way. And they would need to lose 2 of those 3.
What's their record right now?
It's 11-3. We're 10-4.
Yeah.
It's right now San Francisco 11-3, oh, nice Eagles lead. 10-3, but they play tomorrow night against in Seattle without Jalen Hurts at quarterback, mind you.
Honestly, go ahead, sorry.
Lions are 10-4, Tampa Bay is 7-7, and then the 3 wild card spots, Dallas at 10-4, Vikings and Rams at 7-7. So right now, if the season ended today, the Lions would be playing the Vikings, which seems to be the same story I've been telling for weeks now. We do play them 2 of the last 3 games, so that's probably not going to stay the same. Well, the more likely scenario is that the Rams end up in that 6th spot, it seems, or the Saints, which would be wild. Stafford coming to Detroit.
Could you imagine that?
For the first Detroit home playoff game in 30 years.
That would be pretty amazing, actually.
And then we stomp on them.
And they're playing pretty good. And Stafford has actually looked great. I don't know if you've been able to watch him at all. He's really good.
He does look good right now. They're playing well.
Yeah.
He's got a couple really nice receivers out there, and Stafford's just playing good.
Seattle could move up to 7-7, too, if they win tomorrow. And there could be a rematch there as well for the Lions. At home against Seattle, our kryptonite.
They're like our nemesis.
They are.
Our defensive kryptonite, I say. We score 30 plus against them every game on offense.
But honestly, the seeding means nothing to me right now because the main goal in front of us is got to be the division.
Well,
really? Yes.
So the Lions got great help there this week. The Vikings lose against Cincinnati. Yep. They couldn't get 1 yard in 2 plays. They tried a quarterback sneak twice. You know, if you're just going to do a quarterback sneak, everybody knows it's coming. Why don't you, like, throw, like, T.J. Hockenson or something behind there? Like, some guy that actually has, like, mobility and strength. Yeah, right. I don't understand why you put the quarterback that clearly cannot sneak very well
So probably because handling the snap is too hard.
Well, that was part of the problem, that he couldn't handle the snap, and that's why they didn't make the fourth down and one, and then the Bengals turn around and score. But anyway, so the Vikings lose. The Packers lost again. They're 6-8 now. So Lions basically just have to win one more time in the next three games, and they clinch a division. Or if Minnesota loses one, the Lions will also clinch a division.
This next week, we're going to do that.
Yeah, well, we play the Vikings two of the last three. So
I know.
I take it on there
next week in a big time way.
Yeah.
Take it in Minnesota. That would be pretty badass. Like, yes, block it down would. 2 weeks early, yes, against our division rival for the spot. That would just be fantastic.
You can bank it.
This is awesome, though. I love the fact that we're, like, last year at this time, we were hoping maybe for a miracle at the end of the season to get in the playoffs. But this year, we're talking about, like, can we get the 2 seed, maybe an outside shot at the 1. But all, like, a 99.999% chance of making the playoffs. Hurry, actually, if Seattle loses tomorrow, we are guaranteed a playoff spot.
Yeah.
But either way.
I think Purdy got hurt today, too. I don't know how bad, but.
No, he came back in. He's fine.
Yeah, he was fine. McCaffrey was stud.
Yeah, beast.
He's just unreal. But
that'll be a great matchup, us versus the 49ers for the conference. Like,
I'm fine with
so
that.
Many similar weapons.
Like, would have to be in San Francisco.
We'll make up for 1983. Eddie Murray. Yeah. I want to watch the game with Eddie Murray. I want to be in the room with Eddie Murray when we watch that game, and we beat the 49ers. You know, to win it. Oh, that's how I want to be.
That would be pretty freaking sweet.
Recently, Pride of Detroit put out the most heartbreaking games in Lions history, like the top five, you know. And, of course, number two, which was number one, 1983, when Eddie Murray missed that field goal against the 49ers that would have put us in the NFC Championship game and probably won the Super Bowl, you know, because we were good that year. Eddie Murray, the most reliable field goal kicker in the league. Like, he was on our team for, 18 years or something like that. He was just money. And he misses a 42-yarder, like a foot to the right. I'm sorry.
So,
I'm reliving the moment. Me, sorry.
That brings I cried me that to day.
Anyway, yeah, I digress. I digress.
UJ, that you kind of brings me to, like, a more contemporary question. Like, who do you guys think will be our kicker in the playoffs?
Wow, Badgley. There's a good question. Yeah, I agree. Badgley.
Well, I mean,
I think I hope they made this move. I mean, Patterson gets benched for Badgley. I think that all put signals.
Well,
like, I'd like to make a 50-yard field goal in the playoffs if possible.
Well, Badgley's got 3 games here to prove it before the playoffs. So,
but how much he missed Prater? He why did we let Prater go? Why did
the only bad move by Holmes of his career yet?
I agree. Prater's still stud out there, man. He's still kicking long.
He is. I don't think the Lions wanted to pay $4 to $5 million for a kicker when they're starting their rebuild. So I think that's the main reason.
Yeah.
I think that was a little bit of oversight. Not with like I said, the only kind of bad move that didn't quite have the level of foresight, because, I mean, maybe they just figured we'd find a guy by now, but
it's hard to find a good kicker. I don't know if you guys have seen the Cowboys kicker. He is electric. Brandon Aubrey didn't kick in college. He was a soccer player, then he played in the XFL and USFL, I think, for a while. And then the Cowboys pick him up. And so technically he's a rookie this year. I think he's like a 30-year-old rookie or 28. But anyways, he hasn't missed a kick yet, and he's made 8 of 8 from 50-plus, including a 60-yarder.
Amazing, yeah.
I do like this paradigm of having a really good team and a bad kicker. I prefer this to having a bad team and a good kicker, I will say.
I think we all prefer that, yes.
Yeah. I would agree.
Hopefully that won't be a hallmark of Campbell and Holmes' career here, but I think they'll get it figured out. It is much better.
I got to tell you, though, sorry, go ahead, G. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. I was just gonna go more about the playoffs.
No, okay. Well, I just want to throw this one point out there. You know, I love the Lions show the locker room speeches at the end of the games and stuff, but the locker room speeches are getting really, really boring and short, and they're just really like, Campbell's just, I'm proud of you guys. You guys went out there, you played good, you won. I'm proud of you. Break it down. And, like,
what is that
that's all
for?
He says. He doesn't like to say much anymore. Like, it used to be great when This is a...
Is that your real Dan Campbell impression?
Maybe that's just the edited versions we're seeing here today.
I've never heard Dan Campbell sound like that.
Well, once. Hey, but that's the price of winning, okay? Like, because when, like, when, remember before when we won our first game, said, that's one. That's one, guys. Oh, God, this is one. And then he went on his whole, like, sports. Great rant. And he goes, that's two. Two in a row. We put two together. Oh, hey, we did one hell? On the road.
One on
he's
the road. Like Elmer Fudd or something.
We did
Who
one on the
this?
Road. We did one on the road. That's what a road
this?
Game. We did a road game. Now we're doing this. We're doing it, guys. This is what we train to do. This is what we practice to do. This is what we do. And this is what we do. You guys, you know what you're doing? You're doing what you practice you're doing. And then you're doing it. So anyway, I don't know. You know,
it's like, did Dan Campbell like get laryngitis and also like different, like, did he grow up in what? I don't even know. Like,
you used to do a good Dan Campbell impression too, like, yeah, brother, and like that was like, what was that?
Yeah, I don't know. That was not our coach. Maybe it's another coach or something. In the building.
Well, you know what I mean. System. I think you get the gist. Never mind.
I get the gist. I just don't get the voice.
I'm with you there.
Like, yeah, it's definitely easier to be like, you know, rally the troops when you're like the underdogs, you know.
But now we're the overdogs, okay? We're the overdogs. But Campbell's oh embracing the overdog mentality. I love it.
Well, like, we're just becoming good. So, yeah, you don't get overly dramatic when, you know, like, he's finally able to ride that line of just rock steady, just competence instead of, you know, having to get everyone emotionally up and stuff.
Well, it
was just... focused.
If the Eagles do lose tomorrow, I believe the Lions win out, which is Vikings twice and then at Dallas. They control their own destiny for the 2 seed.
Yeah.
And the good news is that Jalen Hurts is out possibly tomorrow for the Eagles, and Matt Patricia is doing the defensive play calling for the Eagles
now.
Oh,
my God. Can you believe it?
He just sneaks his way in there.
How does he you know? Do it? He's like worm tongue, and you know, like
he's
Lord of the Rings.
He's Belichick's a little illegitimate bastard. That's why.
Oh my God!
It's crazy. Belichick's going to be out of New England after this year. That's kind of wild.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see where he goes. He's going to get traded to like the Chargers or the Redskins or the Commanders.
Do you think he'll keep going?
Absolutely. He's so finally. Close to the all-time coaching wins record.
Oh,
he cares
okay.
about that stuff, too. Okay. I think he definitely wants to.
You know coaching. What, too? I think some fresh perspective. Watch Belichick go somewhere and figure it out again. Like he needed to like change his whole paradigm. Like, you can't just keep trying to draft a new Tom Brady with like these middling quarterbacks who don't have really the talent. Like, you're not going to catch that lightning in a bottle again. He's going to have to draft like a really good quarterback.
So I mean, he drafted Mac Jones in the first round. It just doing
yeah, like
poorly.
I just said, a middling quarterback.
Yeah. That worked like out what, well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like he would thought, oh, it's Tom Brady, another kind of under-talented quarterback who will be able to, but he's smart. Like,
so,
I mean, maybe he'll be good. I don't know. But
yeah, but at the very least, it looks like the Lions are not going to be lower than a 3 seed. So. That 2 seed would be important for the next round. They say if they win that first game in the first round, then they can have the, you know, the home game in the second round as well.
You know what's kind of crazy too? We could be having CeeDee, Aleem, and Houston potentially back in the playoffs.
Yes,
like that could be.
We're
huge.
Actually getting really healthy at the end, which is kind of remarkable.
Still 3 games to go. Anything can happen in those.
Yeah.
You're right. But knock on wood. But
just keep Ragnow, Decker, keep the whole line healthy. I think.
Oh, I'm with you, man. Hey, that kind of begs the question too. Like, once we get in the playoffs and once we're kind of assured of a spot or win the division, or whatever, does Campbell rest guys? I'm gonna be curious to see what he does. You know, like, does he try to win out?
I doubt it.
Does he rest his guys or try to keep his linemen healthy? Or I'm just curious. Like, it'll be interesting to see what he does.
I think it depends on if we can go for that 2 seed or not. I think that'll be a factor.
Yeah, there has to be something to achieve, probably. Yeah,
as long as we got something to play for. Yeah, I agree. I think he will. I think he'll play.
Because I mean, the Lions are just a much better home team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And Goff in the dome, it's just he's
it wouldn't surprise me though.
It's just way better.
You're right.
You know,
he is. Yes.
Like, I think there's something to be said for taking your foot off the gas at the end of a season, though, in that to the negative, which is I think you risk becoming too conservative by like resting guys and pulling every and like kind of letting that whatever momentum you built kind of die. Like, I mean, then again, you know, if you're good enough, it shouldn't matter too much. But I don't know. I think there's something to just keep your pedal to the metal.
Name the coach's name.
Caldwell.
I'll never forget him for what he did to the Colts.
That's why you brought this up.
You know, because all their down Lions, I was still a huge Peyton Manning fan. And they were running the table, man. They were what, 14-0, 15-0? 14-0, because it was a 16-game season. And he started pulling all the starters at the last two games, and they lost their last two games. Motherfucker. You had your chance at immortality. Run the table. And I never respected Caldwell after that. Never respected him after that. I didn't care what he did for our team. It didn't matter. I lost all respect for that man. So, sorry. I dredged up old memories. Sorry.
UJ would spit on him in the street if you saw him because he has no respect. None.
Well, I think we should wrap up here. As always, it's a good time.
Was that me? Did I do it this time?
You did.
You spit. You're spitting.
I mean, I did. So I'm the on that note guy?
Yes, you're on that note.
No, yeah. I don't want to be that guy.
Remarkable it wasn't when you were doing the Dan Campbell impersonation.
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah. We let you continue after that, UJ, somehow, for some reason. Well, the Lions moved to 10-4, a 42-17 victory. They will be on the road the next two games, and on Christmas Eve, noon Central, 1 o'clock kickoff in Minnesota. What a great Christmas gift it would be for them to clinch the NFC North for the first time in history.
So you can count on the refs to be totally against us in this game because they're going to want the division to play out on the final game of the season.
Maybe.
AZ, you know how those things have been coming up, like how they script the NFL, like you see something I was thinking about that during the Lions game because like that weird offsides penalty, the offensive offsides that we talked about that didn't happen. It, like, oh, the script was in our favor today. I kept thinking like that. Well, the NFL wrote it. They wanted us to win today. That's what I was thinking.
We've been ordained.
The script is in our favor today. Yeah, all right.
If that continues, that'd be a true Christmas miracle. If we get the refs on our side for once and our entire
that would be the next time we've really arrived.
Right. That would be the Christmas. They'll make movies about that one.
Well, I think we're going to wrap it up here, but thank you to sidelinereport.com for supporting the podcast. Thank you to our producer,
Kid J.
thanks for just crushing it every week.
Every week. He's the best. He's the per
week.
Best in the biz.
Around.
Best in the biz.
No one's ever gone.
Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter/X at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts about this Lions team. Who do you want to face in the playoffs? All that good stuff. Let us know. Or just reach out to us at drinkingthebluekoolaid@gmail.com as well, if you prefer to reach out to us that way. And just, am I forgetting anything? No, I don't think so. So we'll be back later this week previewing that game at Minnesota on Christmas Eve. And then, well, after that Christmas Eve one, hopefully I'll have more information on the next podcast about when we'll podcast our reaction to that. But in the meantime, we want to thank all our listeners for tuning in and downloading this podcast on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you left a review, we greatly appreciate that, too. But we'll be back later this week previewing the game to clinch the North.
Yes.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always, go!
Go!
Down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. with honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go! Go.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.